This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And we find a Stanley Cup champion named Jay Caulfield brought to us by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, how are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing? Bob?
Nice to talk to you, Jay.
Yes, it always is, even under these circumstances. Man, this is rough, but I would say it was pretty rough right before Mario got here and right before Sid got here too, Jay. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to go to the bottom to rise again, and I don't know that they meant to get here this early, but the Penguins are here, right? I mean, I don't see them really escaping from this.
Yeah, no, that was look, you went through the weekend, you came out of the break, you're 5 points away from the spot, and whatever they're trying, whatever, you know, what's best for them or whatnot, you know, all these guys are playing to get it. You're playing to be in the playoffs. Sidney Crosby doesn't play the game not to play high-stakes games. You know, he doesn't want to sit here with 20-some games to go and not have something to play for. I mean, I think when they came out of it, they didn't get the goaltending they needed. That's number one. That's bottom line. The Rangers weren't a good team, and they score. The way the goals went in the back, you know, the way they were pulling the puck out of the net. You know, I haven't seen that. I mean, we gave a number last night that in the three games that they've played, they haven't had numbers like that since the early 2000s. So it's something that's goaltending has been an issue all year long. It became a major problem. It's still a problem right now. I know Mike Sullivan said it's not on the goaltending part, and there were breakdowns all over the ice, but still you need somebody to make a save to pick up when something else goes wrong. It just hasn't happened, especially coming out of the break. And, I think that it was a listless effort, too. I mean, in Philadelphia, like, it's taking away anything that used to be a tough place to play or an entertaining place to play for both teams. And that was not the case at all last night. I mean, it was just all, you know, it was tight, then it just blew open. And the Penguins were beating errors that Mike Sullivan and his coaching staff, everybody across the board, won't be happy with. And that's what it looked like to me. Like, it's like the Flyers ripped the heart out of the Penguins halfway through the second period or late in the second period.
Even though this, to me, is not tanking, they've earned what they've gotten, which is where they are in the lottery, which is fifth right now overall draft. But I don't think I agree with what you're saying. These guys who are out there trying to do what they got to do, but they seem unorganized, disorganized.
Yeah.
And while the goaltending has to be better, I don't think there's any question, and that is a big thing to try to address if you're Cal Dubas. I also think your goaltending, and Jay, you tell me if I'm wrong about this. When your goaltending is under siege and seeing a lot of odd man breaks and psychologically and confidently, that can affect any goaltender, I think.
Oh, no. Bob, I totally agree with that. In fact, I thought it was – I don't think – I mean, it's been worse. There were times throughout the season early in the year where they were under siege, and that's what it was like, right? That's, you know, a breakdown, and all of a sudden they get an opportunity, and it's a grade A chance. I think in these three games, last night, look, the Washington game, when there's a breakdown, that's the problem. When there's been a breakdown, and it's each team has it. There's breakdowns on both sides where the Penguins get a great look. Just the difference over the three games that we're looking at right now is that they made a save and the Penguins couldn't get a save. And that doesn't excuse the idea of the break. I mean, the ones that we saw last night through the neutral zone, the three opportunities, bad decisions. And I believe some bad decisions are coming from the idea that you're trying to push, you know, if you're the Crosby line, you're trying to make something happen. So the play by Raquel trying to find Crosby down the wing, maybe instead of just getting it deep. They've been outstanding all year long. Maybe they're trying, maybe that play, that specific play, trying to just, you know, do something to, you know, to turn their fortunes around, and it ends up going the other way. So, Bob, I agree with that, that when there's grade A chances and number of them, so many of them, that's very difficult. But in this three games that we just saw, the goals they gave up on the low amount of shots against Washington, the goals against the Rangers, and then you see last night, now the one-timer by Forster, there's nothing they can do on that. And, man, I'd have to look through the tape again. But the first one, I'm sure, and he even talked about it, the first one, that's a difficult one to give up. And you can see the reaction of the players, too, when all of a sudden they give something up and the guys are, you know, you can see the shoulders drop, the head drop, everything. It's a bad space that they're in. You made the comment about looking disorganized. They certainly look that way on the sixth goal. And I just think there's little things that they harp on all the time, and they're repeated mistakes that put your team in a position like this. And it's a tough place to be. Like right now, this is not where you want to be. Most guys have been in this position where they're now again fighting, you know, to try and just scrape to get into a playoff. And when you're not in the hunt, this is long. 20-some games to go, you're 9 points out. Everybody just about won last night that you're going against. You're holding more games than the other guys. To me, yeah, that one last night, that's when my comment last night was, well, there's a lot of guys right now, and luckily for me in the NHL, 1 year that we weren't in the playoffs, your mindset is I'm fighting for a job. Now I'm fighting to show that I'm able to hold on or you want me back. That's what this is about right now for a number of players. That's what you're looking at. You're trying to say, do you want me back or not? And it's going to be by my play. And I think this is what this has turned into. And last night, there'll be a number of guys that they'll look at and go, I might not want that back. That's what I think it comes down to.
Well, I guess that leads into my next question, Jay. And that is, you know, that was Philly where they were getting embarrassed. Right. And in the third period, the score is out of control. I don't know, maybe hockey's just not that way anymore, but isn't that kind of a situation in the third period where you start some trouble and show some life and show you want a job in the future?
Yeah, that's what I said. I agree, Joe. We know the lineup is not that way. Sidney Crosby's going to be battling. Sidney Crosby battled against that Cooley in New York. It's a big forward, a big power forward for the Rangers, and he's doing that. I felt last night that they ripped the heart out of the Penguins last night. They didn't have the fight was gone in them last night in that game. In that game, it wasn't there. And I don't think Mike Sullivan is used to doesn't want to see kind of packing it in. But by what you're talking about, Joe, then they are, in a sense, with no pushback, no fight at all. And it doesn't, again, I know they're not built that way. There's not going to be somebody going to start. Who's in the lineup? Nick Steele, there's a number of tough guys that will play hard, but there wasn't even anything close to the battle. Of the usual suspects, it's Crosby, Letang, Malkin. They're always going to be battling. And that never gets away from them, but it just doesn't follow up with the rest of the lineup.
So they are in a situation now, Jay, where they're going to try to acquire assets. They've already started this process, which is why when people think they haven't done it, they have done it. They've brought in, you know, picks. Kyle Dubas, you know, has a long-term contract. I would imagine now everything is tied to how he manufactures the draft coming up in the next 2 years and free agency as well. What can they do to save money so they have more money to spend? You know, Carlson makes a lot. Is there a realistic chance that he could be traded? We talked a lot about Raquel. That's obvious. If you want to, you know, probably the most sought after one of them wingers in the game right now. But what about a guy like Carlson? What can they do with him?
Jeez, Bob. I mean, that's a contract that, I mean, first of all, you got to get a guy to waive a no-trade clause, number one, right? So we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
The no-trade clause is in there for a lot of guys. And with a number like that, Bob, I'm not sure what you'd have to eat to give to move on from that. I don't know what takers are out there for it. I mean, that is such a – it's kind of loaded in a lot of different ways, Bob, because I really think, like, it's a contract that I don't think when it came down to even when Carlson was brought in here, I mean, what teams were really in play? It was Seattle, and then they mentioned Carolina, but I don't think Carolina really was ever in the game for Eric Carlson because Brent Burns was there, and it didn't really work in San Jose. So I'm not sure what's going to be out there for the, you know, for what he's going to accomplish for a team making a run. If they want an offensive side of it, or what teams are looking for, who's desperate for something to, you know, as you're getting to the, right now, there's going to be buyers and sellers, as we know, as we're getting to the deadline. Bob, I really don't know the answer on that one because I don't know who wants to take over that kind of number. And the same with Ryan Graves. I mean, what do you do? The numbers, there's guys that are out there that have had success throughout their career. Right now, it's not working here. So what are you going to be able to do and what can you move? This is a real tough position to be in. As you went from GM to GM to GM, from Jim Rutherford to Hextall to now Dubas, and each one compounded problems, right? It's, and Dubas is saddled with all the things of trying to right this ship. I don't think he felt like the free agents, everybody that was brought in, the signing of Jari, Carlson, the Jari signing, if he performed to what they had hoped he would, then it looks like a great signing and you're not mm-hmm. struggling with the contract there. Then the Carlson thing and Graves and these things haven't panned out and it's made it very difficult. So, Bob, I don't really know the answer to that. That's tough work for Kyle Dubas, and I'm sure he's been trying to, you know, pound the phone to find out what they can do. But this is not, even when you're not making it, even wherever you're at, what's the draft look like? How deep is the draft going to be to make the picks that you have valuable? I don't know. This is a tough spot to be. Then I always look at the Crosby situation. Again, I believe a player like that does not want to be riding this out. I'm not saying that's not. I'm saying he's so loyal and he's done that for the Penguins and took a discount, all that goes with that. But these players aren't built or aren't wired to be just playing out the season. They're not. They play too many high.
Especially 3 years in a row now. This has become the norm.
Yeah.
Yep, well, at least they were in it the last couple of years. This one.
Yeah, but they still missed the playoffs when you have all these teams involved.
Well, Jay, let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, to your point, I know what you mean, Joe. Like, at least they were grinding down the stretch to see if they could get in. Right now, you look at it right now, with 22 games to go, and, you know, the Penguins are the one team that has not had a good 10-game stretch. I mean, a 10-game stretch to separate themselves. And with 22 games to go, that's more your point, I believe, Joe. What I think you were trying to say was that, you know, at least they were battling the years before right to the end. This is on the last three games to be in this position has really put them into such a spot that you have just so many teams to climb. They have games in hand on you, and they're 9-plus points above you. That's tough.
This is a disaster, Jay, and it leads to a question. Mario was in town. I'm sure you saw him. What can you share with us about his opinion of what the hockey team's doing right now?
No, I think across the board, Joe, with all the players that were in town for Mario's camp and everybody watching the Penguins and everybody pulling for stuff, I think the games that we saw is almost like a little snapshot of what's kind of going on throughout the year and realizing it's tough. They all know. Most of the players that were here, you know, for Mario's camp were guys that always were in playoffs, always got into it. Very rarely would they miss out on what everybody's trying to play for. So the feeling of it, you can even feel the wind come out of the sails, even in the Mario's suite over the weekend when it's, you know, one after another went in against the Penguins. It's very difficult. But I think they all know they're in a tough spot right now. And Mario's so diplomatic about it. And, you know, we all know what he means to just being in the building. I think this is the one thing. It's almost like it's the perfect storm with Mario not being in the building as much as what he was before, the way the team and where it's sliding to and what it's doing. I think everybody has the same feels like what we're talking about right now. And partially, probably most of what I'm talking about is what we discussed over the weekend. Everybody feels the same way, man. This is a tough position to be in and tough predicament to be in. And again, all these players that have been here have been extremely successful and not fighting for something again, with the ultimate goal, makes it very difficult.
One more thing for you, Jan. This is about Ovechkin. I'm sure you admire what he's been able to do. And last night he became a 30-goal scorer for the 19th time in his 20-year career, which is magnificent. It could very well be that the last game of the year he's going to get that one that break Gretzky's record. He's on a pace to do it. So we've had this discussion. I have nothing but respect for the guy. And I realize that Pittsburgh and Washington was an intense rivalry. And because of that, there's some hatred that fans feel. But I would imagine on that day, if it happens in Pittsburgh, people would give him a standing ovation. And I quite frankly would be disappointed if they didn't.
No, I think everybody, I agree with you, Bob. I think it's what he's doing is, and it's helping the game to the, you know, putting a spotlight on the NHL for somebody to accomplish, you know, the great players that have played the game in all sports, but somebody going after achieving a goal like this, especially the way Ovechkin played the game and still plays the game, how he's evolved in the, you know, talking to the best goal scorers that have ever played the game, say how he's evolved into scoring the goals so many different ways, just a pure goal scorer. We know the one-timer from the half wall. We know the power play on the flank, all that. But he scores in other different ways too. And I do think, I think there would only be an amazing ovation for if that did happen here. And we do know the grind, but I think the respect between Crosby and Ovechkin just alone, and Malkin and Ovechkin, I think that alone would bring that to be something that would have to be applauded. And I think it's an amazing, amazing feat that is driving the Washington Capitals as well. I think they're caught up in the whole rush. They're playing great hockey. They're caught up in what this is all about, and they're flourishing with the excitement around it.
Thanks, Jay.
Lastly, Jay, I'd be remiss not to ask you. I think it was shortly after we talked last week that news of Mike Leng's passing became known, and then an incredible ceremony this past weekend. Your thoughts on your time being around Mike?
Joe, Bob, Mike was certainly, as everybody has said, I mean, the way he carried the game and called a game and had brought everybody into it, especially the way the Penguins, the Pittsburgh sports fans in general, from baseball, you know, obviously the Steelers in a different venue and the hockey and the Penguins. But to me, he brought everybody into it, let them feel the game, be a part of the game. For me, he was engaging and warm when I first came to the Penguins, and my wife and I, Alicia and I, he was wonderful with us and made you feel just great about everything. And I remember one of my first interviews I had with him, it was in Philly, talking about being in Philly and what it meant to be back there. And even just threw out a phrase to me then was the one, buy Sam a dog and get his drink, his dog one, buy Sam a drink and get his dog one too. That phrase, he threw it out there in the interview with me, and I will always remember that one. And I love the one about Elvis has just left the building. And I think what he did for sports here and what he did for the Penguins and the hockey world for all of us made it very, very special. And and even as I was doing this work now, guys, and what I'm doing, his comments to me or let me know whether it be, you know, good work, whatever, that kind of thing. He was very, very always engaging, very nice, even from the last time I saw him. And it's a sad day with that happening, and we'll all miss him, and he's certainly what he meant to everybody in this profession.
Well said.
Very. We appreciate the time, Jay, and we'll talk next Wednesday. I think we'll be leading right up to trade deadline day.
Yeah, it's Friday next
Friday,
weekend.
Friday, okay.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Guys, you got always great to talk to you. Take care.
You also. Bye-bye.
See you, Jay. Where'd Bob go?
I thought you knew.
I don't. The pizza came. Slice on Broadway. It's delicious as always.
Oh, I've already had two pieces.
Isn't it incredible?
So good.
Place is the best. I had two pieces of plain pizza and a nice salad to go with it. Limits. What did you have?
I had a piece of pepperoni. I had a piece of plain. And I also had one of those pepperoni rolls that they bring. Oh,
so
my gosh.
Good, aren't they?
Very good. I love pepperoni rolls.
Bob is back, so let's immediately get to the grades. Every year, the NFL Players Association puts out a report card. These are players within the building, and it's not, you know, some of these player surveys you see at some publications, things like that. It's like, you know, 11 guys from the league. This, I just did the math here, was something like 1,600 players, and it came out to 52 players per team. This was virtually every player in the league. And Art II, again, gets a D grade from his own players. What is happening here? Last year, he got a D. That's 28th in the NFL. Across the board, the Steelers' grades are either mediocre or horrible.
Mike Tomlin got an A.
Except for head coach, where Mike Tomlin gets an A. I don't know if I want my head coach getting an A, but he did get an A. The strength coaches got a C-. That's worst in the league, Bob, from the players.
This is what happens when quarterbacks start pushing those slebs around and hurt their calves. I suppose, I don't know.
Some of this stuff, I
wonder what they're actually asking and, you know.
Why do you suppose Art continues to get low grades within his own locker room? I thought that the Steelers were supposed to be a mom and pop shop, a family atmosphere.
But apparently the
players don't think so.
I think a lot of this has to do with facilities and their perception of what these things should be. And I do think in time, like anything else, there'll be adjustments to their work facility. They'll try to enhance it based on what other teams are doing. I don't know what the breakdown is. Do you? Do you know what they're?
Yes,
what
I
are
do.
They? Okay, so what are they breaking it down for? What
treatment of facility? Or where is it now? Now there's a thing blocking where I just had this, Bob. You ever get those come up on you?
Oh yeah.
Food and dining B-.
See, I disagree with that, and I'm one of these people who, when you go over there,
wait a second. Have you sampled food from around the NFL at all their facilities?
No, but I have. I think their crew over there is outstanding. And what they do. And again, how much do you need before you give it an A? Are you of the belief? Ask anyone who goes over there to eat. They're very generous about what they do and what they make. And
the
Steelers
don't seem to appreciate or like, I don't know about like, but I can't help but wonder, their owner, the team president. I have a hard time believing that Dan Rooney would be getting D's from his own players every year.
But what I'm asking, you've been over there, haven't you? The food...
I don't care about the food.
But you just said it's a category.
Right. The story here is the owner. 28th in the NFL, for the second straight year, his own players are giving him a horrible grade. What do we read into that? I can't help but read into it that either they don't think he's giving them the best chance to win, or that some of these other things bug them about him. And I thought that was the one thing with the Pittsburgh Steelers that you could always hang your hat on, is that they treated their players well, better than other places, that this was a family atmosphere where you had, you know, someone in the family as your sort of patriarch. They don't like their patriarch, or they don't appreciate him. They don't think he's doing a very good job. I think that's a major story.
I also want to know specifically what. Like, you have these categories, and... I have no idea how they, you know, when they travel the way a lot of teams travel. It's a first class arrangement. You get
team travel. They gave a B+.
Okay.
That was 18th in the league. A lot of people were A's and B's.
But again, what would separate an A from a B+ in travel, or how much sushi you get on the plane? I mean, I don't understand.
I don't know. I'm still focused on the owner. You know, what are you saying that
I just don't know what they, you know, you've been clear about ripping Mike Tomlin at times. They obviously love Mike Tomlin.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. I mean,
great. They love Mike Tomlin. Does that take away any of the criticisms of him?
No, but also I think when you find letter grades like a D, and the explanation is the food's a B+ or the travel's a B+ or whatever, I don't understand why
the weight room is a C+. The strength.
Again, I think facilities are a big driving force in these surveys.
So maybe they think he's cheap and won't upgrade
maybe
their
so.
Facilities.
But I think they are going to do that in time. I think they will upgrade those facilities.
Well, that's nice, but they haven't.
All right. Well, then how would
The locker room gets a D. The training room gets a C+. The weight room gets only a C+. That's 28th in the league. And they had the worst grade. Now, this is something that I don't know if these are strength. Would the strength coaches be the people that you would point to if you're having soft tissue injuries?
Didn't they just change the entire strength staff?
Yes,
a year ago
they got the worst grade in the whole NFL, a C-.
After they changed it,
yes.
Well, that's interesting.
But is it specifically the strength coaches that you look at when it comes to soft tissue injuries or some other area?
I don't know. What would you say to that? I have no idea.
I mean, I just don't want to like make a connection there that's not accurate because it's the worst in the league. And Tomlin, who didn't give details on anything in his season-ending news conference, gave details on that when from out of nowhere he said that we had a lot of soft tissue. We experienced a rash of soft tissue injuries that was impactful, he said. I've never heard him say anything close to that, especially in a season-ending wrap-up where you want to know why the team crashed. He said, we experienced a rash of soft tissue injuries that was impactful. That's just an example of many of the things and subjects that we have covered and will continue to cover as we assess what transpired and quickly transition ourselves for the future. So he went out of his way to throw them under the bus.
Soft tissue.
Yes.
Okay. You have to connect the dots for me here now, though. Like, what do you do to prevent that? And why is it soft tissue injuries are all over the NFL? I mean, you see it for a lot of teams.
Yeah, but they finished 32nd in their own team player rankings in strength coaches. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know if that has more to do with the medical people. I don't know, honestly. Limits?
So in their report card, there's a brief definition of why they were graded as a C-.
Okay. Yes.
Saying that 75% of players report that they get an individualized training plan from their strength coaching staff. That ranks the team 31 out of 32. And it also included that the players feel that their strength coaches slightly contribute to their overall success. That ranks 32 out of 32 teams contributing to the last place finish.
Wait, read the first part. I didn't understand what that was.
The first bullet point was that 75% of players report they get an individualized training plan. So like a one-on-one plan between the strength coaches and the player.
What's wrong with that? They want 100% or I don't understand what...
Other teams might do it just for every single player, but out of the respondents, only 75% of the Steelers players had that, not a higher number. So other teams are polling at like 80, 85, 90.
All right. Training staff gets a B, training room C+, locker room a D, nutritionist, dietitian C+, food and dining B-, treatment of facilities. I don't know what that means. Treatment of facility or at, I don't know what that means. That's a C-.
That could be treatment in the, treatment room.
Yeah. So the head coach gets an A. We already know the players love the head coach, right?
Yes.
That's seventh in the league.
That's why he gets an A.
Do you consider that a good thing or what do you think of that?
I mean, there's a lot to like about Mike Tomlin when he deals with you one-on-one and talks to you. But if you're going to base it on, what goes on the field and how he does or doesn't put you in a better situation to win games based on play calling, based on clock management, based on everything else. I think those are two different titles.
There's some very, areas. Very interesting head coach ratings here, Bob, across the league, I might add.
Please do tell.
The worst you'd expect to Chicago. I mean, it was Matt Eberlus for a lot of the, was it him the whole year? I can't remember. He was horrible.
They got rid of him.
Of course, Jacksonville also gave their coach a C. Guess who was the only other team in the league to give their coach a C?
San Francisco?
Cleveland with Kevin Stefanski. How about that?
I thought they would have gotten less than that, but did they give Ds for this? Fs?
You would have thought that the Cleveland Browns players would give Stefanski a worse grade?
Based on everything that's gone on there, wouldn't you?
I mean, he's a two-time coach of the year. I thought players liked him.
Well, I don't know.
Again, man, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I was shocked to see that. Normally, you wouldn't see that. The Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens only gave their coach a B. Not an A? How about that?
And the Patriots got a B+, even though Gerard Mayo was fired.
See, that's weird. That whole situation there, I saw that number or that letter grade, and I said, B+? And they fired their coach. I don't know.
See, I think this can be good and bad. Like, Miami. Mike McDaniel, I think, is notoriously soft on players. He got an A+ from his players. But then again, Kansas City, A+ for Andy Reid. Atlanta, Washington, Minnesota, Detroit, all A+. And then you have the Steelers, Cardinals, Niners, Bengals, Colts. You've had most of the league got an A or an A minus. Even Carolina, Philly A minus, Green Bay A minus. Then you only have those three C's.
Mike McCarthy got an A.
Did he?
He did, from Dallas.
I think those guys
are there.
Really
parent teacher are there player teacher conferences where they go in and talk about these things?
So here's what the survey results came back for Tomlin. 95% of Steelers players believe their head coach, Mike Tomlin, is efficient with their time. And that 95% ranks 15 out of 32 teams. The players feel that Tomlin is moderately receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs.
Hmm. Interesting, huh, Bob?
Not as kind to Art Rooney.
No. What did it say about Art under there?
Owner Art Rooney II's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in facilities.
There you go, Bob.
Is 6 out of 10 from the Steelers players, ranking 30th out of 32 owners in the league.
Cheap.
See, I think that's the when they talk about, that's what players want to be given everything that they can get in terms of how they are treated. And so facilities are always going to be top on the list. That's why I said that word right off the bat, because that's what they're looking at. And I'm sure they talk to other players and see other facilities, and that's an ever-changing thing, and you have to keep up with that. Like, you look at colleges right now. Have you ever seen some of the most opulent colleges? One of the reasons why they get a lot of players is because of their facilities. So I would imagine the Steelers will upgrade their facilities in time over there. It's been, I don't know how long that place has been open.
But when?
I don't know.
Aren't they going to try to move out from where they are with Pitt?
No, I don't think so. I think that was a false narrative kind of situation. I think they're going to continue to do what they do, only in a better situation.
Joe, you wondered about the willingness to be a competitive team. The players responded to that. That was another bullet point included in this, saying that they feel Rooney is committed to building a competitive team, and that rating is 22nd out of 32 NFL owners in the way that they scaled it.
So they do think
he is...
But it's only 22nd?
22nd out of 32 owners, yes. So he's in the bottom third of
that. Yeah, they must not believe it that strongly. That's an interesting story. I don't know how much it relates to winning, but it is surprising when it's a franchise that seems to pride itself on such things. Art basically said last year, if I recall correctly, that he wasn't overly concerned with what the players thought, Bob.
I mean, what's he going to say at that point? You know, I've talked to a number of players, though, guys like Cam Hayward, who's been around. I'm sure T.J. Watt would tell you a different story. At least that's what I've heard from them. So I don't know.
In terms of what?
In terms of how they deal with the players, Art specific, and all of the people in the management staff. And that includes Tomlin and Omar Khan. So I still think the biggest takeaway of this should be facilities. And they want them to be upgraded. That's the message I think players are sending.
Here's some F minuses from around the league. This reminds me of my old report cards, Bob.
Did you get an F? You never got an F. You're too smart to get an F.
Bob, I barely got into college. I didn't do any homework for all my high school career. I didn't even realize you were supposed to read the book until I got to college, and then I got good grades. Yes, I got Fs. Nina Schweitzer was her name. She gave me an F in English
Nina.
One time. Tricked me. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. We were supposed to read the book. I just watched the movie. Very different, Bob.
And movies normally do.
I tried that
take things
too.
And change the licensing of it.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. F minus the Arizona Cardinals on their locker room. How about that, Bob? That ain't good. F minus the Cincinnati Bengals on treatment of families. F minus.
That's as low as you can go before you get to, you know, G-H-N-I.
Yeah, there are no G's on here.
The
Cleveland Browns locker room, the players give it an F minus. Wow. How about that, Bob?
Have you been in the locker room up there?
No.
Again,
maybe I was a long time ago. They probably haven't changed it since then, now that I think
of
it.
Like anything, you got to upgrade. That's how it works.
Commanders get an F on their locker room. Dolphins get an A+. See, here's Dolphins are A's across the board, yet the team stinks and underachieves every year. What does that tell you? Maybe we're reading this thing the whole wrong way. Maybe the idea is not to give the players everything they want.
I just think it's become such a me thing anymore. Players not only want the big contracts, they want everything that comes with it. And sometimes you know, no matter what you do, it's never going to be good enough. So I look at that always and I wonder what it all means. Because there's so many categories that are brought into play here. I don't know what's really accurate or not.
To me, it's noteworthy that every year players inside that building give Art Rooney almost a failing grade. It's noteworthy. I don't know how important it is to winning. The Dolphins have A's and A pluses across the board for everything. That is incredulent. They love it there. They just don't win. Kansas City gets a D minus for their locker room, Bob. What do you think of that?
That's due for an upgrade. I've been in that locker room. I think that's
so. Was Antonio Brown? That was the Facebook Live episode.
You got a glimpse of it in there, right?
Yeah. Everybody yelled at me when I went in there, starting with Al, because I picked the Chiefs to win that playoff game against Alex Smith. Steelers won it without scoring a touchdown.
Was it 18, twice this 13? Year? 18-16, I
think. 16? And I went in there, and they were all giving me crap.
Yeah, they say they don't care and don't listen but until they do. And then they say, what are you supposed to do?
I went in there.
An educated guess based on the information you have.
Funny, but they were all giving me crap. I'm like, yeah, luckily you got a holding call there on a two-point conversion. Remember the one that would have tied it? Yep. Like, it wasn't exactly a crazy prediction to pick you guys to lose. You should have gone to overtime, and you didn't score a touchdown. And then 10 minutes later, after we leave, AB's got the computer cranked up to record on Facebook Live. You remember that, Bob?
Oh, how could you forget that? And Mike Tomlin's in the middle of his speech afterwards, and that's
and
not a good time to run it.
The Patriots a bunch of a-holes in his speech. You remember that?
Yep. I'm sure they did, too.
Oh, my God. Those were the days, Bob. We were young and foolish then, weren't we?
So many memories.
Were you there in Kansas City?
Not that day, no. We were back in the studio doing that.
Horrible ice in Kansas City. That was the night I walked off a plane, too, the night before the game.
I still remember all the ice in Dallas for the Super Bowl.
That was horrible.
That was awful. We couldn't even get around.
Terrible.
They weren't prepared for that, and they got it and didn't know how to treat the streets.
Surprised there hasn't been any compliments on my Golden State Warriors hat today. It's a special
I like
Steph
it.
Curry
it's
a, hat.
It's very nice.
I got this in Miami.
Did you know that Steph Curry has a house on Pebble Beach? I saw it.
What?
Yeah, he and his owner both have houses nearby one another. So I was out there, and I was looking at the houses, just curious about, you know, caddies know a lot. Caddies will tell you things and tell you that those guys are never there. He has a house, and he's never there. I'm sure
Curry never
multiple.
Plays there?
Well, he plays there, but, I mean, he doesn't hardly live in that house.
Yeah.
It's like a $30 million house. They're all... The real estate on that place is insane. So,
I bet he bought it just for a month or two to play golf.
Yeah, he's a golf addict like you. You know,
he's unbelievable, Bob.
Athletes all things they can do things.
He already had a hole in one. It went right in the cup.
This is one of your bucket list things you need to do. Michael Jordan has a place called the Grove. It's very much very specific. Who
named after Bob Grove?
Maybe, but. It's supposed to be unbelievable. And that he serves drinks on a drone to you on the golf course. The drone comes and delivers you drinks. All these
How
things.
How am I going to get in there?
Well, I'm trying to get in there.
You can get in there. I can't. Mario can get you in there.
Well, I got to be a member. I'm sure it's a very hefty price.
Where's that?
In Florida somewhere. I don't know where. Somewhere in Florida.
Wow. That must be the life, huh?
How about that? Apparently, he plays 36 holes a day and loves it.
Jordan?
And still can't figure it out. Yeah.
God, that's the thing about this game. You can't figure it out.
No. He himself called it the toughest thing he's ever done.
Why is that, Bob?
I don't know.
What is it about this sport? There were things I was better at the first time I was on a golf course than after all this practice.
It's just in your head. I think it's more just a will to believe what you're doing is right. And if you do, you can eliminate some of the problems and just get rid of three putts. If you get rid of three putts, you'll be good.
It's also the nature of that little club face trying to hit the ball in the perfect spot. It's very difficult.
There's no question. There are too many parts of your body are moving. You got to control them all. It seems simple. It's not at all. So you should take solace in that even the best of the best can't master the game.
No, they said Barkley, Jack McCallum, the great NBA writer for SI, said that when Barkley first played, he was amazing. He would smash his drives. He had unbelievably soft hands for a guy built like that. And all he did was get worse and worse and worse. And now he's a wreck. He has a tick in his swing. It's a mentally torturous game, Bob.
Totally is. And it goes in the pro level, too. You know, there are guys who've been ranked at number one in the world and disappear quickly, even though they're the best at the game at one point. Then it just becomes a head case. I don't know, Joe, but
I can't figure out if I love it or hate it.
You know you love it.
No, I also hate it, though.